Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The University of South Dakota School of Education has a new dean. Donald Easton Brooks has been on the job for a month. He comes to Vermilion from Eastern Oregon University, where he served as professor and dean of the Colleges of Business and Education for the past 2 years. Since 1996, Easton Brooks worked as an instructor and a lecturer in the fields of human development, health and human services, and sociology at several colleges and universities. He served as assistant professor of education at the University of North Texas and as associate professor at Hamline University in St. Paul before becoming a full professor at Eastern Oregon. He's with us here in our studios in Vermilion. And Dean Easton Brooks, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And welcome to Vermilion.
Yes, thank you very much.
So have you officially moved in, the family with you and everyone?
Officially moved in, family's in. We received the last of our items last weekend, so we're officially here now.
So how's it felt the past 2 months?
It's been pretty good. You know, it's a little warmer than Oregon, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Well, I'd like to ask you, Dean, what was your attraction to the University of South Dakota? Why did you apply for this position? Why were you interested?
Sure. What really attracted me to the position is just the energy and the interest of the university to really engage in teacher education at the level that the profession needs. You know, oftentimes when we think about teacher education, we think about the negatives of teacher education and providing quality teachers. And South Dakota really put forth a great intention on really preparing teachers that are engaged in the profession or preparing professionals to engage in the field of teacher education. Presented an opportunity to really talk about how do we really promote the field of education? How do we ensure that we are getting quality candidates to become teachers and to become counselors and to become leaders in education? So for me, that was really attractive, to really kind of be a part of an institution that's committed to the field of education.
For those of us who aren't in academia, here's a basic question. What is a dean? What does a dean do?
Well, a dean, I like to describe it as, you know, some of my kids' friends will ask me that same question. What does a dean do? It's often kind of compared to a principal of a high school. So the dean is really responsible for the vision of the school, responsible for handling the budget of the school, and personnel matters, but really about how you're moving the school forward and contributing to the university by also making sure that the school is connected to the vision and mission of the university as well. So it's really about, you know, how do you manage people? How do you set a vision and move a vision forward, and partnerships? And how do you really connect with schools in the areas? How do you connect with policymakers? How do you connect with different entities that are involved in teacher education or in education as a whole?
Now, you've been at the University of South Dakota now for about a month or just a little
about a month, right?
About a month.
Right.
Maybe it's too early to tell, but I'm wondering how you think the USD School of Education compares to some of the other institutions you've been at.
Sure. You know, the thing that I really like about the School of Education here is that you have people with the willingness to really think about how do we provide better access? How do we engage in a level that we are really producing quality teachers? And really thinking about the level of research that people really want to do so that they're able to impact the community. So for me, I think that the school itself is really looking to being on a playing field that we are recognized nationally, internationally. And that's different than, you know, other universities that I've been at with teacher education programs that are really about just serving the region. And I think for us, we're able to do more by not just serving the region, but serving our community in a national way. For instance, the research that we're able to do here can expand nationally, and people can look at what we're doing here and take that into their own different communities and do the same thing. So having leaders and having a faculty that are willing to take on that challenge is exciting, and I think that's something that's refreshing to me.
Now, the USD School of Education was described to me as a comprehensive school. Is
Correct.
That kind of what you're talking about?
Yes.
Or is it something different?
Exactly. And I think, and we think about comprehensive in two different ways. And one way we think about comprehensive is that when we think about the field of education, we're really thinking about not just teacher education, but also counselors, school counselors, sorry. We're thinking about leaders, principals, curriculum coordinators. We're thinking about early childhood education, and we're thinking about the health and physical activity and those type of things that go on. So we do provide for our candidates and our community a comprehensive approach to the field of education and to schooling. And also we think about a comprehensive approach to really wanting our students to have a comprehensive experience. So as we think about students as they go through our program, from either it's teacher education or counseling, et cetera, we really want to stay invested in their lives and help them understand that what they're doing is truly a profession. And once they get out of our programs and start their career, we really want to provide for them opportunities to stay up to date in their profession. We want to provide opportunities for them to grow in their profession. So maybe they want to become principals, or maybe they want to switch careers within the field of education. And so in that way, really being comprehensive, and not just to our students, but to the field of education as a whole, that we're able to provide career development workshops. We're able to provide induction series for those new teachers to really understand how to engage in the profession. And so those things are really what we feel when we talk, what we think about when we talk about comprehension.
No. Earlier, you were talking about attracting people into the field of education, getting qualified young people to enter this field. Education seems to be rather controversial. Mm-hmm. At least different approaches, teacher pay, things like that.
Exactly.
Is it difficult attracting those qualified candidates?
I think so, and I think what makes it difficult is that we have a profession in which everybody wants to be involved at every level. And I get that. We're one of the few professions in which everybody's experienced education at some point, either as a student or as a parent. Somehow we've experienced education. So in that way, everyone feels that they have something to contribute to education. And so what we find is that when things are not happening in the way that they should be happening, then everyone has an idea of what would make it better. It's almost like if you take your car to a mechanic and someone says, well, you know, I've driven a car before, so I can tell you what's wrong with it, or I've seen a car, so I can tell you what's wrong with it. And it's not that simple. When you talk about education, you're talking about how do you blend a multitude of cultures, of learning levels, of perceptions of families and perceptions of teachers into this one area to create something that's comprehensive, to create something that's collaborative, to create something that's effective. And for us, it's just a matter of how do we change that paradigm of how people think about education. Oftentimes, if people had a bad experience with education, that's what drives their thought about education. And what we want to do is what I talked to our school a lot about is kind of help our profession regain itself or to take more of an onus of who we are. So I think it's our responsibility to be a part of developing quality. So as we look at that, we really want to think about how do we help people understand the profession, and we call that professionalism. How do we understand what it takes to be a teacher outside of just loving kids, what it really takes to be a teacher? Help them understand that the content in which they are engaged in is critical and important. And to think about pedagogy, how do you really teach from different areas and teach different students and get them to the same point of comprehension? So it's a complex matter, and some of the things that we're looking to do is really to touch base with students before they even get into college. One of the things that I've worked on out at Eastern Oregon was a program to really get high school students engaged in teacher education by taking a high school class and really getting involved in young children's life to really understand what teachers do, and in hopes that those students will then become teachers or get into the teaching profession. It was a very successful program. And doing some of those things here, we're kind of looking to hopefully have that same approach, that we can help people understand what the profession is about and help people to have a healthy understanding of how the profession can move and grow our communities. You talked about it, you kind of mentioned briefly about our salaries. I think that's something that in the state we're going to really have to take look at more importantly. I don't know if you saw the child count.
Kids count, yes.
Kids count, thank you.
Talked about it yesterday.
Yesterday, yes. And some of the challenges that we're facing in the state. And I know that some of the challenges we're facing is because we do miss quality teachers. Our quality teachers are going to different states. When I was in Minnesota, one of the highest populations of teachers in the Minnesota schools were from South Dakota. And I would imagine it had a lot to do with salary than anything else. And so we have to really kind of take seriously this issue and how do we keep quality teachers in the state. If we are committing to preparing quality teachers and we become and we have a national reputation for preparing quality teachers, you can bet other states are going to pull those students, those teachers to their states. Texas is a state that's constantly doing that. Nevada is a state that's constantly doing that. States that are really having a hard time with achievement scores or achievement gaps or achievement of students are looking to states with quality teachers to pull them to their state. And so for us to really hold on to those teachers, we're going to have to take seriously the salary.
Yeah, because if we're, as a state, are investing, you know, there's a public university, University of South Dakota, to train these teachers, it's in our best interest to keep them here.
In our best interest, you're right.
You're listening to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with the University of South Dakota's School of Education new dean, Donald Easton Brooks. He's been on the job for about a month. Now you were talking about what it takes to be a teacher, helping people understand what does it take to be a teacher. What does it take to be a teacher in the year 2015? And
sure.
As we're training teachers now, looking to the future.
Exactly, and yeah. I think that's an excellent point. What does it take to be a teacher? We live in a time where our world is becoming very diverse, not just ethnically diverse or culturally diverse, but becoming diverse in family structure, becoming diverse in income, becoming diverse in very different ways. And when you think about South Dakota as a state, it's a very nice state to live in. My family and I have finding it very pleasantable to live here. You will find that people are looking for places like this to live and to move. And with that, people will start to bring in their different cultures and different approaches to life. And when they do that, that can kind of disrupt the way in which we've always done things. So what does it take to be a teacher is being able to be open and flexible to the different types of students that you have in your classroom. But at the same time, being able to present content to students in a way that's understandable, in a way that's meaningful, and in a way that's producing quality outcomes. Teacher education is not just about going into a classroom and teaching math or teaching science, but it's really about how do you build relationships? How do you develop a relational type of teacher that really can connect and engage with parents and with students and with other professionals from diverse settings? And that's one of the things we really talk about, we've started to talk about in our program, is how do we help our candidates understand how to be relational? And that's a real critical part. In education, we call that disposition. What is your disposition as you relate to the profession and working with children and working with families? And we really are putting in some strategies to really help look at that as students move through our program. So while the content is critical and important, how to teach and how to really engage as a professional teacher is important as well.
Now, there are a lot of, you're talking a little bit about this as well, a lot of, you know, ideas about education.
Right.
There's always new programs, new theories,
right,
new philosophies,
right,
about education. How do you sort all of that out?
Right.
So, you know, to what's the best approach,
sure,
with,
sure,
students? And again, you're talking about a diverse population, diverse,
sure,
experiences.
Right.
You know, different ways of learning, for example.
Right. And I think, you know, and I do think the way you really sort that out and get to that is that you work with your schools. I mean, it's easy for us at the university to talk about what we think work or have theories about what we think work. But if we're not working with our partner schools, if we're not working with the schools that are really doing the work, we're going to miss the boat. And there's always going to be this disconnect between teachers or schools and higher ed. And we have to bring that together. So when you talk about how to make sense of this, it's going to take research. You go into the classroom and you find out what strategies are really working in that classroom, and you really build on those strategies, and you really work with making sure that these strategies are constantly looked at, and you're constantly making sure that you stand on top of things. What we find in education a lot is that the curriculum oftentimes, especially on the state level, depends on the governor, and it depends on the superintendent of the schools. And what we tend to find is that if one approach is not working, we tend to go in a totally opposite direction, which I don't know if that's the best thing to do, rather than saying, how do we build on some of the successes we've already seen and then go from there? You'll have someone come in and say, well, the teach reading phonemic way is the best way. And then when it doesn't work the way that we think it should, another person will come in and say, no, it's whole language. That's the way to work. And we constantly kind of jump and shift rather than saying, what are the best features of these two different approaches to get to that more effective way of working and teaching children? And the only way I think we do that is by constantly collecting data and constantly looking at what the data is telling us about how children are learning, and then start to build curriculums based on that data. I think some of the things we find, for instance, when you look at, I would say, for instance, something like Teach for America, which has been an approach that really works with more challenging communities. Oftentimes, Teach for America really talks about the effectiveness they've had in Houston and the Houston Independent School District. And they take that approach and they want to move to other places. But what is happening is that Houston Independent School District is one of the top school districts in the country anyway. So you're talking about a place that's already having success. And you put a program in and say, look at the success of the program. Do we really know the success of the program in very challenging communities? And that's where we really need to look at it. And we do that a lot in education. We find an approach that works maybe well in one place, and we say, let's work on it somewhere else without really looking at what the data is telling us, why it might have been successful in one place, and what are those attributes we can bring here, rather than saying, let's erase our whole curriculum and do this model. And I think that's where we fail oftentimes.
Well, Dean, in about a month or so, students start arriving on campus for the fall semester. I know it's been busy this summer, a lot of summer camps and things going on here. We got the governor's camp coming up next week. Certain things, I mean, what are you looking forward most to when the students start showing up next month?
I really do look forward to meeting our students. I really want to find out, you know, the type of students we have, what motivates them, why they are interested in education. I want to have an opportunity to meet with the different schools and find out in the profession, you know, what's happening, what's the motivation, what's going on, and to really get a feel for who we are and to find out, you know, where do we need to go to really make sure that the field of education is strong. And especially strong for our students and families here in South Dakota.
Well, Dean, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. And again, welcome to USD and Vermilion, and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.